Wanted to thank everybody for gearing into our month of gratitude as a church. It's been fantastic to look out on the pillars and to hear the different things that many of you are giving thanks for. Many of you have been participating online and just posting photos of the different things you are grateful for, and hope you'll continue to do that. Gratitude isn't something just for November. It's a lifestyle that affects our lives. Many of the folks at Celebrate Recovery committed to writing three things every day, and many throughout the entire congregation have committed to writing three things every single day that we're thankful for. Three unique things. You can't say the same thing as yesterday. Thank you for my wife. It's got to be something unique, but that habit will change lives. And so thanks for being a part of that, and hope to see the gratitude spirit continue on. Want to get you into our message this morning by reporting on something I found to be kind of quite interesting, actually. A gentleman from Time magazine decided to do some research to find out if there was anything that might actually be classified as the universal joke. The universal joke that is timeless, that that exists across cultures. Is there one kind of joke that everybody always goes to? And he found that there is a universal joke, and it's not the mother-in-law joke, and so you guys can all be relieved, particularly if you are here with your mother-in-law. So I know we're together for family. The universal joke, well, what he did is he sent out messages to people in Time's offices in wherever they had an office. We're talking Moscow, Beijing, London, Paris, Rio de Janeiro, Mexico City, Sydney, Tokyo, all throughout the world, Berlin, Bonn, everywhere that where there's a Time office. And he said, okay, tell me what are the one or two jokes that are current right now where you are now? And he got them all back, and they all pretty much fit the same pattern. The pattern really functions like what used to be in America as the Polish joke. Now, if you're Polish, I'm not like making light of this. I'm just naming it. That's the best way of naming it. It's the joke that we play on the other group. And wherever you go in the world, somebody's got a joke about the others. In England, they have jokes about the Irish. In Ireland, they have jokes about the English. In Australia, they have jokes about folks in the other parts of Australia, or folk jokes about New Zealand. In the little tiny island of Grenada, 133 miles long, the people on the east side of the island have jokes about people on the west side of the island. People on the west side of the island have jokes about the east side of the island. Philadelphia fans have jokes about the Dallas Cowboy fans. And the entire nation has jokes around the Eagles fans right now, all right? So this is a universal experience. There is a universal joke that gets played on the other group. And it points to a deeper issue that universally, no matter what kind of culture you come from, humans divide themselves. We divide ourselves from other groups, and we find fault with the other group. We find blame with the other group. We find ourselves to be victims of the other group. There's always another group, and we naturally divide. We find people who are like ourselves, that we feel comfortable with, that we feel safe with, and we group ourselves up, and then we make the divide. Ever since Adam pointed at Eve over the fruit that was taken from the tree, we have been dividing ourselves. Which brings us to an interesting part of our series. We've been teaching through a series on the abundant life. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and life to the full, life and life more abundantly. And one of the greatest teachings of Jesus, where he teaches that he is the good shepherd, He has come to protect his people. He has come to bring them into good pastures. He's come to care for his people. He's come to gather more sheep together. And at the end of the day, who wouldn't want an abundant life? Well, there are those folks who don't want an abundant life. They'd rather not have an abundant life and find the others to blame for why they don't have an abundant life. It's easier to blame than to actually try to go for abundant life. But those folks set aside, who wouldn't want an abundant life? And what I think we're going to find this morning as we talk about this is that maybe we don't struggle to want an abundant life, but we might struggle to believe in one. There's an interview by Bob Dylan a few years ago, and the topic of happiness came up. And so this is what he had to say. He said, okay, a lot of people say there is no happiness in this life, and certainly there is no permanent happiness. I'm not exactly sure what happiness even means, to tell you the truth. I don't know if I could personally define it. Now, he kind of recognized that there's some kind of happiness out there. When the interviewer asked him, have you ever experienced happiness or have you ever held happiness for yourself? This is what he says. Well, we all do at certain points, but it's like water. It slips through.